The National Broadcasting Company presents the American Forum of the Air, founded 21 years ago by Theodore Greinich and dedicated to the full and public discussion of all sides of all issues, coming to you from the famous Metronome Room of the Wardman Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. Now, here is your moderator, Theodore Greinich.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The new year brings with it a crisis in the Holy Land. The resolution of the United Nations to internationalize Jerusalem and the refusal of the states of Israel and Jordan to accept it has again focused world attention on this vital problem. Peoples everywhere are concerned whether Jerusalem will become the trouble spot of the world as we enter the new half century. Now, what is the purpose of the resolution? Does it conform to the fundamental principles of the United Nations? Would its adoption promote or prevent effective action for the safeguarding of the holy places? Or will 1950 bring forth a revised resolution which will be more acceptable to all nations and to all faiths? So that we may have a better understanding of the situation, the American Forum of the Air has invited four distinguished authorities. On my right, Dr. Edmundo de Holt Castillo, Minister Plenipotentiary and Delegate of Colombia to the United Nations. Incidentally, he was just nominated yesterday as a member of the Administrative Council for Somaliland, and Dr. Khalil Tota, Executive Director of the Institute of Arab American Affairs. On my left, I.L. Kennan, member of the Israel delegation to the United Nations, and Dr. Carl Herman Voss, Chairman of the Executive Council of the American Christian Palestine Committee. Now, Dr. Costello, would you begin the discussion by telling us exactly what the resolution is intended to accomplish?
With pleasure. The purpose of the resolution is very clearly stated in a document of the United Nations which my distinguished colleague from Israel had just handed to me, that the city of Jerusalem shall be established as a corpus separatum. It means as an independent body from Israel under a special international regime and control of the United Nations. As far as the second question, whether the resolution is in conformity to the fundamental principles of the United Nations, I don't see how we could contest that, owing to the fact that the state of Israel is only a creation, I would say fictitious creation, as a state by the United Nations. So we cannot contest the power of the United Nations in any decision in this piece of the land. Will its adoption promote or prevent effective action for the safeguarding of the holy places? Well, naturally, when 39 countries vote for a resolution by an overwhelming majority against very big powers like the United States and Great Britain, for which I have to say I have a great degree of respect, is because they are trying their very best for peace. Now, in 1950, where a revised resolution will be more acceptable to all nations, I doubt it. How can a revised resolution be accepted in 1950 by the nations when 39 votes were already cast for the resolution on Jerusalem?
Mr. Kennan, would you take care of any one of those points?
Yes, I should like to, Dr. Greinich. I should like to say at the outset that Israel will cooperate with the United Nations in a just and workable plan for the UN supervision of the holy places. But we insist that the extreme plan for complete internationalization that has just been recommended by the United Nations will not accomplish its purpose. It cannot be implemented. It cannot be carried out. Jerusalem is not a museum. Jerusalem is a city full of people who will not be disfranchised, who will not be denationalized, who will not be subjugated to foreign rule. When Jerusalem was besieged some 20 months ago, and the United Nations then abandoned the plan for internationalization, and the people of Jerusalem were left to themselves to defend themselves from Arab aggression, Jerusalem's Jews lost 1,490 lives in the defense of their independence. What would the United States think under similar circumstances if it lost 1.5% of its population, 2,250,000 people, in 6 weeks of war?
I think Dr. Tota has a comment there. Go ahead, Dr. Tota.
I favor the internationalization of Jerusalem only as the lesser of two evils. It is not an ideal solution. We must remember, as Mr. Kennan said, that Jerusalem is not a city of just museums and shrines. It's full of people. And now I am thinking of those 100,000 Arabs whose homes have been looted, who lost their homes, their business, their schools, their churches, and are out. At least this internationalization would allow them to come back and live in their own homes under comparative peace. If they were to live under Israeli rule, we know what that would be like, because Deir Yassin is not very far from Jerusalem itself.
You've been there, Dr. Voss. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I should like to disclaim any intention on my part to bring up atrocities as Dr. Tota tries to, for one can match atrocity with atrocity. Let's banish those things for the moment, and let's realize, first of all, that Jerusalem is not to be made a corpus separatum from Israel alone, but also from Jordan too. And that's the thing that many of us are protesting. And secondly, I would like to disagree with our opponents in the question of Israel being a fictitious creation. Israel is very much a reality, as the Arab states can well attest in the defeat they realized in the war of aggression they had against Israel. Now, Mr. Granick, all of us are concerned with the holy places. Who is not? But let's point out that the holy places are all over in the old city of Jerusalem. I would like to ask, why penalize Israel by internationalizing the entire area when the holy places are not over in the new city of Jerusalem?
Dr. Costello.
I am awfully sorry, but I have to contest that it's not the Arab countries that have attacked Israel. On the contrary, as a member of the Security Council, my country had to realize that the conquest by the force of arms from Israeli against the Arab countries were very, very much strong. And there is a Pan-American principle established since 1886 that we do not recognize conquest of territories made by the force of arms. That's one point. As far as the fictitious creation of Israel, I am wondering, it isn't fictitious when that country existed before? Has not ever been internationalized? Was ever been under the British control before or not? All of Jerusalem has belonged to the world and to humanity. Jerusalem is the city of God and should belong to the world as a whole.
Let's hear from a member of the Israel delegation.
Well, in all of its history, I don't think Jerusalem was ever internationalized, Dr. Costello. I don't think it was ever under international regime at any time.
Dr. Toto, did you want to answer that?
I would like to protest what Dr. Voss said about Arab aggression. It seems to be the technique, the trick of Zionist propaganda to cover up their aggression by labeling the Arabs as aggressors.
Dr. Toto, let's get back to the
question. The defenders of their own homes. Please let me finish. And it is the aggression that came from outside, definitely and explicitly. Now, another point. To split Jerusalem into two and have a frontier, when a boy wants to go to school every morning to cross a frontier and have a visa and then have to change his money and open his bag for baggage inspection, it's a most ridiculous thing. One thing more that you must remember, those who hear us, that Jerusalem is a Christian city. Out in the new city, there are 12 parish churches, 6 Christian hospitals, 14 convents and 16 schools, mostly high schools. And what are those people going to do? It's a Christian town and they have great stakes in the new city of Jerusalem, and to split it into two would be just absurd and criminal.
Dr. Voss.
Mr. Granick, I'm very glad that Dr. Toto finally came back to the subject, because after all, Jerusalem is our topic of discussion. I would agree that Jerusalem is of universal religious association, but not only for Christendom, likewise for Islam and Judaism. Furthermore, I think it should be noted that many Christians are fully aware of the fact that Jerusalem is a sacred city and that it should be taken care of. But I'd like to point to a famous Anglican, Canon Hugh Jones, who, according to the New York Times, is head of the English mission in Jerusalem and attacked this United Nations internationalization in his sermon on Christmas Day. And Canon Jones made this interesting comment for a Christian. Canon Jones, who realizes that Jerusalem is of interest to Christendom, says, "Nowhere throughout the policy of the United Nations can there be traced any thread of humanitarian principles toward the Jews and Arabs of this city." And he concludes by saying, In all the policy of the last 2 years, how much thought and concern have been shown toward the Jews and Arabs of this city? It seems to me, he says, that to show concern for the holy places and something bordering on callousness for the people of Jerusalem is coming dangerously near to being desecration of the holy places.
Dr. Costello, you want to comment?
Yes, I'm awfully sorry. I am not going to read any clippings because as the use, the manner in which Polish and Soviet delegations keep on carrying on comments to comment, and it will be tremendously long to read again clippings and clippings in this table. To contest me, sir, with great respect, as far as your question, whether Jerusalem belongs to three religions, that's why, purposely, that's the very reason for which, as I said before, is a city that belongs to God, whichever religion it carries, and that's why it should be internationalized. And as far as an Arab city, as you said, sir, is concerned, I give Dr. Torta the floor to answer that, whether Jerusalem was or was never internationalized, because I really don't know whether before it came as a realized state it was or not under the trusteeship of England.
Well, may I ask a question? Dr. Stella, does the United Nations possess the power, the means to force Jerusalem into acceptance of an international government?
Well, I'm going to answer that question by another one. How did Israel came into being?
One might answer that, Mr. Well, Grant.
Did you want to answer that, Mr. Gammon?
I'd like to make just one comment, that in some respects Israel came into being in spite of the opposition that was created in the United Nations by those who wanted to go against the resolution of November the 29th, 1947.
I beg your pardon? Do you mean by political interests in the United States, in other words?
I mean particularly the opposition of the British Empire who were arming the Transjordan Frontier Legion.
Hasn't defiance of the UN resolution by Israel placed it in a most unfavorable position as far as world public opinion is concerned? Someone is a rebel?
Dr. Granick, we do not concede for one moment that we have defied the UN resolution. We have said to the United Nations, as I have said here just a moment ago, that we believe that this decision, that this recommendation of the United Nations, of the General Assembly, should be reconsidered. I want to say a word to Dr. Costello. We concede the world's spiritual interest in Jerusalem. We concede that the United Nations should govern the holy places. But we insist that the people of Jerusalem must be permitted to govern themselves. We insist that the United Nations has no interest in garbage, sewage, in elections, in the municipal services, in schools. That is not the affair of the United Nations. We insist that that is a matter for the people themselves, and we are convinced that a satisfactory plan can be worked out reconciling the two interests.
Dr. Toto?
I would like to remark,
to
make a comment on Mr. Kennan's, or your question, why can't it be implemented? Mr. Kennan's talk and remarks this afternoon are not in accordance with the facts. Israel and Israel's responsible leaders have again and again said that they are defying the UN.
Just Israel?
They are threatening to shoot and murder just the way they killed Bernadotte. They can do it. Biden today threatens in New York Times that if the UN proceeds to internationalize Jerusalem, they'll fight. When the UN representatives went there not long ago, they threatened. It looks as if Israel can get away with murder from Bernadotte down and with fait accompli, and they mustn't get away with it.
Go ahead, Mr. Cannon, you want to answer that, don't you?
Well, I don't want to answer that. I would like to ask Dr. Toda another question, however. I would like to ask him whether he speaks here today for the Arabs who are today in Jerusalem. The fact of the matter, as he well knows, is that Jordan, the government now in possession of the Arab part of Jerusalem, is opposed to the internationalization plan. And I'm asking whether he is representing their position or whether he is representing some other position of which we do not know.
Well, it's quite well known whom I represent. I represent the Institute of Arab American Affairs, which is an American corporation, and I am an American citizen and a Christian born within sight of Jerusalem, baptized in the Holy Sepulchre. And I have a full right to speak, and I do not speak for the Arabs.
Abdullah,
he is not a member of the UN. The UN did not acknowledge him, but the UN did admit Israel on condition that it abides by the rules and regulations of UN. And look the way it behaves.
Dr. Voss, do you want to take that?
Nobody questions Dr. Toder's right to speak. We simply like to point out that the Arab states were at one time very much against internationalization of Jerusalem, and suddenly they've been banded together because of their opposition to Abdullah.
When Abdullah, on behalf of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, claims that the Arab-held part of Palestine as well as the old city of Jerusalem are part of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan.
Dr. Stella's eager to answer you. Go ahead, Dr. Stella.
I think it's really absolutely silly to believe that King Abdullah is with the Jews and not with the Arabs. He's just a puppet. But the Arab League, which represents five countries like Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, and so forth, I mean to say that Jerusalem is in the hands of the Arabs, when five Arabic countries, for the first time after the Crusaders, opened their arms and the doors to the Christians to come into Jerusalem and to have a
Dr. Costello, no one would question the fact that Jordan is a puppet of the British, that's known. The question really is, which is the weaker, the puppet kingdom of Jordan or the defunct and bankrupt Arab League? I should like to tell you, gentlemen, that none of us is against internationalization. We are in favor of internationalizing the holy places. We should like very much to see to it that control is given to United Nations Commission to take care of the holy places and grant the new city to the state of which it is an integral part and the old city to Jordan, thus seeing to it that the holy places are guarded and that the United Nations is not embarrassed by an utterly unfeasible and impractical measure of internationalization.
Maybe we'll get a revised resolution right here, Dr.
No, we will not get a revised resolution. Never. 39 countries will stand for the resolution. And if the Israeli country fights against, I think 39 nations will be able to fight for. But one thing, sir, and I'm very sorry to say it. Do you mean that the holy places are going to be under which control?
I simply say that the holy places, which are in the old city of Jerusalem, now in Arab hands, would be under the control of the United Nations. But the secular problems concerning the city and the government of the city would be in the hands of the respective states of which those sections of Jerusalem are a part.
Thank you, sir. I'm thoroughly agreeable to you. I am sure that you are supporting the United Nations resolution.
I am supporting, my dear friend, the position held by the United States of America. I hope that blood won't fall and roll and row in Jerusalem the way that water does. I should like to say that all of us are in favor of internationalization of the holy places, but we do not want to see the UN saddled with an utterly unworkable solution. That, I think, is the crux of the problem.
You think it's unworkable, Dr. Toda?
Why, it's quite workable if the Jews would cooperate, if they would implement it, but if they are so full of fight and threaten, Ben-Gurion said only last week, we are aligned against the whole world. And too many people are pampering Israel for its own evil. It's of time it got spanked and behaved and abode by what the UN does. One more thing, we must not keep out of mind the 100,000 Arab refugees concerned in the enclave of Jerusalem. They are very important, more important even than holy places. Their money is in the banks of Jerusalem, the Ottoman Bank, Barclays Bank. They are starving and in charity by the UN because they can't get the money. And Israel is freezing it, they won't let it out. It's high time that they got some kind of internationalization.
When you ask, you say that Jerusalem and that the Jews failed to cooperate and that they're full of fight, may I ask, Dr. Toda, are they as full of fight as your Arab friends and the nations of the Arab League who are now threatening a second round? You know full well that the Jews of Israel have promised to cooperate with the United Nations in safeguarding the holy places, and they have safeguarded the holy places much better than certainly under previous regimes.
Did you want to take that, Mr. Kennan?
The Jews will cooperate with the things that suit them only. When a decision of the UN suits them, they cooperate. When it doesn't suit them, as Bernadotte and as the UN mission and as this internationalism, they are against it.
I think Dr. Gordon is speaking from his own experience. And I should like to remind Dr. Costello when he tells us that this decision will be carried out and that we will be forced to abide by it, I should like to remind Dr. Costello that it is the right of a delegation to the United Nations, when it believes that the United Nations has erred, to call for reconsideration of the resolution. I should like to remind him that the first delegation to call for reconsideration of the November 29, 1947 resolution, the resolution calling for partition and internationalization of Jerusalem, the first delegation to propose reconsideration in the Security Council was the delegation of Colombia. And I should think that he would appreciate our position when he recalls that it was the Colombian delegate to the United Nations, to the Security Council, who abstained when the General Assembly's resolution came before the Security Council, and the Security Council was called upon to assume the responsibilities requested of it by the General Assembly. I don't blame Dr. Lopez for that. I believe that he was sincere. I believe that he was motivated by what he believed to be right. But I insist to you, Dr. Costello, that it is possible to suggest that the UN is not infallible, that on this occasion it flies in the face of reality, that it has defied the position in Jerusalem today. If it is to succeed in its aspiration, the control of the holy places, it must win the cooperation of the populations directly concerned.
Dr. Costello.
Well,
please let him answer. Go ahead, Doctor.
This is a very serious thing, because my Israeli colleague is putting in the mouth of my delegation nothing but lies.
Mr. Granick, may I question
that?
Please let him answer.
Don't interrupt me.
On the first place, my delegation was the very first delegation to vote in the Security Council for the admission of Israel against the will of Great Britain and of the majority.
I grant that, sir.
And we voted for, under the promises that Israel, written promises that my delegation have, that Israel will carry on the 1947 plan for internationalization of Jerusalem. Point number one. Point number two, I'm very sorry to say that we never ask for the revision on 1947, because my delegation was the very first one, and I have here the document written by the Minister for Foreign Affairs on the 6th of October 1948, in which they say that the Corpus Separatum of Jerusalem is a fact. And I have the original of the letter written by the Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Mr. Green,
I'm very sorry, sir.
If we'd like to have some facts, and I have before me the point that, in all fairness to Colombia, Dr. Costello, when war broke out after May the 15th, and the Security Council considered the American resolution to declare the situation a threat to the peace, Colombia was one of the five voting in favor of that resolution. I should like, however, to note that on May the 14th, the day that the State of Israel was proclaimed, a resolution was brought before the UN Assembly, the special one, to appoint a commissioner for Jerusalem. And at that time, there were 15 ayes, 11 noes, and 28 abstentions, of which your country was one,
yes,
to abstain. Another time, there was a vote concerning the UN commissioners to be appointed by the Trusteeship Council for Jerusalem. Again, your country abstained. Furthermore, you abstained on the resolution creating a mediator for Palestine. I think these should be matters of record and not be condemned as lies, because they are matters of record.
Did you want to answer that yourself?
Yes, actually. We never believed really in the creation of the State of Israel. And in 1947, we just abstained because we thought the world was not prepared to create such a state. But when it was a fact, naturally we had to abstain.
Mr. Granick, when
my turn,
I think Dr. Toto has an opportunity. Go ahead, sir.
Go right ahead, Dr. Toto.
The State of Israel has defied the UN not only on Jerusalem, it has defied it on 1 million Arab refugees, on Jaffa, an Arab Jaffa, which was given to the Arabs by the first resolution of 47, Lydda and Rumley, Western Galilee, Tiberias, Beersheba, and all other places. And again, I come to these 100,000, 105,000 Arabs who are out of their homes, out of the enclave of Jerusalem. We must think of them as well as the other 1 million Arab refugees, and not be concerned with other matters.
I think Mr. Kenner wants an opportunity to answer a charge made by Dr. Costello.
Yes, I do want to put this into the record. The records of the Security Council of February the 24th, 1948 do contain the text of a resolution, a paragraph B of that, called for the calling of an extraordinary session of the General Assembly for the purpose of reconsidering its resolution of November 29, 1947, introduced by Colombia. Then On March the 5th, 1948, the Security Council was called upon to vote on the U.S. resolution. The records of the Security Council, I have the documents here, show that Colombia abstained on the proposal that the Security Council accept the responsibilities requested of it by the General Assembly. I must insist that these are the facts. I must also point out to Dr. Costello that the statement that we made in a letter to Colombia on our position on Jerusalem did not propose the internationalization as it is recommended by the General Assembly today. We made our position perfectly clear. We read the letter that we wrote to Colombia to the ad hoc committee a few weeks ago. He knows precisely what the position is. We did not mislead him. And the Colombian delegate himself, when he voted on our admission, said that clarification, while not fulfilling all the desires of the Colombian delegation, has diminished its concern so that it no longer feels itself obliged to oppose Israel's admission at the present time.
Let's hear from the Colombian delegate, Mr. Costello.
Naturally. When you are bargaining always, you might be misled. But anyhow, the records show that we did accept Israel on the conviction, and we vote for it, on the conviction that they will accomplish well their duties, and they have failed to do it for my government.
Mr. Greenick?
Go ahead, Doctor.
If we're also refuting statements and pointing out certain statements that could be said, well, if not be lies and exaggerations, I should like to point out to Dr. Tota that the Arab refugee problem, which is not related to the problem of Jerusalem, is not comprised of a million Arab refugees, but rather, as the United Nations has pointed out, by varying figures ranging from 650,000 down to the Red Cross figure of 350,000. But here's the major point, that the statement we make and the side which Mr. Kennan and I uphold is simply that of the United States of America, of the Scandinavian countries, the United Kingdom and Canada, all of the democratic nations in the world within the United Nations, which realize that...
May I interrupt you?
I beg your pardon. I didn't interrupt you.
I will not allow you to say that Colombia is not a democratic country because the United States or the Scandinavian countries are.
Well, again,
we laugh about that.
Then I'd like to ask who is being interrupted now.
I have interrupted you.
I'm sorry. We just have time for very brief summaries. Dr. Boyce, will you sum up?
Very well, then, Mr. Greenick, in this discussion, which has reached the usual stage of acerbity, which always characterizes the Palestinian problem, I should like to say that our side allies itself with a major segment of Christendom, both Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, in pointing out an internationalization of Jerusalem, the total internationalization, would be unjust, would be unworkable, and is utterly illegal within the terms of the United Nations Charter. It is our conviction that the United Nations should internationalize the holy places alone, grant Israel the governmental powers over the new city of Jerusalem, acknowledging what is now a fact. At the same time, doing the same for the old city of Jerusalem.
Dr. Tota, your summary, please.
The internationalization of Jerusalem is the minimum justice which could be given Palestine and the Arabs and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The least the UN could do is implement its own decision of 1947 and December 9th. As to what Mr. Karl Voss says about the million Arab refugees, there are more than that. All Palestine people, the Arabs, are refugees. In talking with Dr. Bunch myself about 4 months ago, he told me the refugees were between 900,000 and a million. And the others who are not under Israeli rule are really refugees. They're cut off from the sea. They can't get to their business. They can't get to their orange groves, to their olive groves, to their homes in Jerusalem. Therefore, the least that the UN could do after having given Palestine to the Jews is to internationalize Jerusalem and render this minimum justice. One more word, that Jerusalem has had such a varied career and history, and the whole situation is still liquid and is not finished.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We have been presenting a discussion on the crisis in Jerusalem. Our speakers were Dr. Edmundo de Holt Costello, Minister Plenipotentiary and Delegate of Colombia, Dr. Khalil Tota, Executive Director of the Institute of Arab American Affairs, I.L. Kennan, member of the Israel delegation to the United Nations, and Dr. Carl Herman Voss, Chairman of the Executive Council of the American Christian Palestine Committee. Thank you all very much, gentlemen, and bon voyage on your new trip.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you, sir.
For reprints of this discussion, send 10 cents to Ransdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. That's 10 cents to Ransdell, R-A-N-S-D-E-L-L, Incorporated, Washington 18, D.C. The American Forum of the Air, founded and moderated by Theodore Greinich, has been presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company. Next week, the American Forum of the Air will bring you a discussion on the President's State of the Union message. Our speakers will be Senator Robert A. Taft, Republican of Ohio, and Senator Paul H. Douglas, Democrat of Illinois. If you are going to be in Washington, you are cordially invited to attend and participate in these discussions. The American Forum of the Air has originated in the Metronome Room of the Wardman Park Hotel in Washington, D.C., one of America's great hotels.
You're tuned for the stars on NBC.